Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast, episode 12, Deathbed Decisions, Memento Mori. So in this episode, we're going to cover a perspective that the most powerful man in the world used to live a good life, how to use death as a tool to create priority and meaning in your own life, and this information is coming from a module in the Lifestyle Design University. So, truth is, we're all going to die, that's inevitable, but are we all really going to live? That's the question here, and that's down to the individual. So, the majority won't. They're going to be on their deathbed with regret, but in this episode, I'm going to show you how to use the perspective that the great Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius used to live a good life, and one that's echoed down throughout the ages. This is over 2,000 years ago. It's part of Stoic philosophy now, and that's what we're going to be going through today. So, most people, they let the fear of death paralyze them, but I'm going to show you how to flip it, and we're going to fear not living instead. And this is what's going to propel you from paralysis into action to help you design the life that you want, to live true to yourself and die with no regrets. Diving straight in here, Memento Mori, a few of you would have heard of it, others not. I just put my own little flip on it and called it Deathbed Decisions, because that's what it's all about when you're on your deathbed. Are you going to be happy with the decisions that you made in your life? And the truth is, for most people, they won't be. It's literally the number one recorded regret of humans on their deathbed is, I wish I lived a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. That's the main reason why I've changed my own life and why I've created the Lifestyle Design University, to help steer people away from the biggest regret of humanity. Is there anything, more important than that? Not in my opinion. So, where did I kind of come across all this? So, Memento Mori, that's coming from Stoicism. Stoic philosophy, if you've never heard of it. And Marcus Aurelius' quote, it's very similar. And he said, you could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do, say, and think. And I have that on a medallion in my room. So, it's over there. And that's what I look at. Not necessarily every morning, but I always have it there as a bit of a reminder to show me that, remember, you're going to die, and that. And when I flip it over to the other side, it says, you could leave your life right now, let that determine what you do, say, and think. So what this does, reminds me of the great wisdom of the most powerful man in the world at the time, which was Marcus Aurelius. So we'll tell you a small bit about him, just for people that aren't aware of him at all. This was over 2,000 years ago. He was the most powerful man in the world, the Emperor of Rome. And the amazing thing is, he kept his own personal diary, not for the public, so just his own personal diary to help him navigate life, and that has now actually become Meditations. So it's called Marcus Aurelius Meditations. You can buy it and you can see all his personal notes. And it's fascinating. I've read that book, and it's fascinating because the most powerful man in the world, he struggles with the same things that me and you do. Controlling his temper, his ego, the meaning of life, the kind of stuff we're on now. I'm actually doing the stuff that I want to do in this one life that I have. So we're all the same. Doesn't matter what you're really doing in your life. We all struggle with the same issues. And the issue that we're going to talk about today is that, the purpose in your life, the meaning in your life, trying to live a good life and not die with regrets. So moving on then. We'll start kind of diving into the quote, what it really means for me and how it's helped change my life. So really what that quote is, you can use the Remember You Must Die one, which is Memento Mori, or Marcus's own one. They're literally words he wrote in his notebook at night. You could leave life right now, let that determine what you do, say, and think. So it just reminded him, and it reminds me too when I see the medallion, that I need to live now. I need to stop postponing and just pushing things forward, because as he says, tomorrow might not actually come. So, what's the point? I really want to do this, but I'm going to do that in 2 years or three. You could get hit by a car today. I know that's a little bit extreme for some people, but that's just the truth. And we only get one go at this life. And even from reading different Stoic books, I'm pretty sure as well, after wars, so he was an emperor, obviously won a lot of war as well. Pretty sure he used to get a slave to follow him behind him on a horse. So when he's literally just won the war, easy for your ego to take over, think you're invincible, he would get a slave to follow him behind him on a horse saying, you're mortal. Which, it's isn't that mad? Like, so he, like, because again, he knew the ego, and he's trying not to let his ego run away with him. He's the most powerful man in the world, could have anything he wants, and he's trying to live the Stoic life, you know, a life of virtue, of temperance, justice, and wisdom. Try and live a good life, and he has these little things around him, like, you know, he'd have a skull on his desk. That's my medallion, we'll say. And then he'd have things like that, where the slave, you know, following him after war, when you, easy to let your ego take over, most powerful man in the world, remind him that he's mortal, that he could die tomorrow. And that helps him, you know, prioritize his life in the way that he wants. So, like, so, some people could think it's very grim. But it's all through the perspective that you view it. So you could, obviously, be coming across this for the first time and be like, Jesus, why is Mark talking about death? That's a bit grim, that's a bit depressing. But that's a disempowering perspective to view it through. So we can actually flip that. And that's what's, like, helped transform my own life, is when I flipped that. So yeah, not really ever thinking about death because you're young, then thinking about death and kind of like, oh, yeah, bit grim. But now the crucial flip here is, instead of being like afraid of death and letting it kind of paralyze you, you flip it. So death actually doesn't make life pointless. It makes life purposeful. So like, death is really just a tool to create priority and meaning in your own life. That's what it is. Because, like, when you really think about it, if you could live forever, nothing would fucking matter. like if you could live forever, why would anything actually matter to you? The relation that you're in now, why would that fucking matter? Because you're going to live forever, you're probably going to have 1,000 more of them, and a better one. So why would you worry about this one? Like, you can think of it in every situation, like your parents. If your parents live forever and you live forever, would you spend much time with them? Probably not, because, sure, look, I want to do this shit for 100 years, I'll come back to them in the next 100 years. Like, when things are infinite and there's no cap on anything, nothing has any meaning, because it's always going to be there. So, like, that's the kind of ironic thing. The fact that our life is finite and that we all are going to die someday, that's actually the thing that gives it meaning. Like, think of this example. If you had 1 hour left with your parents, or you have infinite time, 1,000 years left with your parents, what's going to be the better experience? Like, if you knew you had 1 hour left with your parents, that will be, again, priority and meaning. You will prioritize that above anything. And the meaning, that'll probably be the most meaningful hour of your life. And you're going to say everything that you should have said, and just be there with them. And that's probably going to be one of the biggest memories you're going to remember for the rest of your life. And it's going to shape your life massively after that. Because they're going to die, and after that hour, and you're going to realize, holy shit, I've been living life the wrong way. You know, and like, none of that stuff would happen if life was infinite. And that's another quote that's coming into my head, where they said that we all live two lives. Our first life is when we think we kind of live forever, and then the second life is when you only realize that you have one to this deeper level that we have, and you start changing your whole life. So that's really been the massive difference for me, is flipping it, like, rather than fearing the inevitability of death, and, you know, like, that's so grim, you fear not living true to yourself. That's what you fear. And like, that's literally changed my life. Like, that's fitting into my whole story, where, you know, came back after the J1, like, broken body, broken mindset, like, social anxiety, no confidence in myself, didn't like myself, to be honest, and facing the 9-to-5 rat race that I had no passion for, and knew that I really didn't want to live this life. So not looking forward to life, which, that's not a good way to be. And that's when I started reading into all this stuff. I started just my own self-development journey, just trying to read bits of this, bits of that, whatever self-development was out there, and coming across this stoicism and the stuff that I'm teaching you now. And then that's what flipped for me. Like, you know, I left, you know, good Facebook job, great money, everything you'd ever want. You're doing jiu-jitsu at lunchtime, you're free food, you're free tech, you're free everything. And I left that to do coaching, which is what I'm doing now. It's actually 4 years in November. Jeez, I need to do a bit of a recap on that. But, like, I think I at the time, I divided my salary by, like, 10 or something. And, you know, Dad didn't want me to do it, so I didn't tell Dad. And, like, all this stuff, you know, people thinking I'm a bit mental. But even, like, now people would say, oh, that, like, oh, you know, that inspired me, or that was brave, or whatever. No. Like, because here's the truth of it that people wouldn't even realize. That exact line, the things that they're fearing, I don't fear them. The fear of, oh, what if you don't make money in coaching, or the fear of, like, what if you try and go back and you can't get your job. That's not what I'm fearing, because what's the one thing I fear? It's not living true to myself. Because I've looked deeper on all this stuff than they have. So that was my one fear. So they're saying you're brave, No, I actually was scared. I was just so fucking scared of not living true to myself. That's the difference. They're afraid of other things, but I'm afraid of the most important thing, which is not living true to myself. Because that's, as I know, as I knew at the time that most people don't, that's the biggest regret on people's deathbed. So it's just such a funny kind of flip of like, oh, that's brave, that's great. No, I was fucking scared, but I'm just scared of a different thing than you. You're running away from, like, oh, afraid I'm not having money, all this. I'm running away from the biggest regret of humanity. So it was actually easy. That decision was easy. Now doing it and trying to find out how I'm going to tell my dad and different things, that wasn't the easy part, but the decision was easy for me. And see, you know, basically everything I teach, it's coming from life experience. I had already experienced that other life, the settling life, not living true to yourself. So I knew what it was like. So this wasn't the first time, this was the second time. So that's what made it completely easy. I wanted to be a soccer player, like, had decent talent, got to Irish trials level, this kind of stuff. So, you know, it wasn't delusion, but never made it, and I gave up on it. At like 19, I went to college instead, when I had these plans on like deferring a year, going over to England, trying to get spotted, etc. Didn't do it. Just gave up on myself. Settled. And you don't want to live that kind of life. We'll just leave that there. We'll go into that in another episode. But, you know, couldn't look myself in the mirror. Like, I bring up one example there without going off on too much of a tangent, but I basically repressed it all and didn't know. And I just went to college. So I settled, didn't live the life true to myself, which is I wanted to be a soccer player. And I came back, went to college, went into the 9-to-5s. And then one day when I was in the airport, I'd actually stopped watching soccer ever since then. And with an ex-girlfriend at the time, just eating, waiting for a flight, and I saw a guy I used to play with. And he made it on TV. You know, is that the first time I'm ever saying that out loud? I don't really know. Maybe I told friends, but like, I feel a bit of emotion coming up. Like, oh, you don't want to have those feelings. Like, I couldn't talk. I felt sick. I just had to stop eating. I remember I just stopped eating on the verge of tears. And then I remember my girlfriend was like, could obviously sense something was wrong. I just kind of held my hand. Are you okay? And, you know, the typical male, like, yeah, fine. And because if I said another word, I was just going to burst out crying. Like, it was just, and look, that's why I have things like the Mental Freedom course, to deeper self-awareness so you can understand all that, work through it all, you know, live a life of peace and go after what you want. But back then, knew nothing, you know, normal Irish male or most males, repressing emotions because I'm tough and didn't understand what was happening. So I'd gone through all that pain of not living a life true to myself. And it's the worst. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse in my life that I've gone through. And I've been through some other bad things, but like, nothing was worse than that, because at the end of the day, you're with yourself all the time. You're not with other people. So when you're on your own, I'm not happy with myself. Like, looking at myself in the mirror, I'm disappointed in myself. Like, I know I didn't do what I wanted to do. So yeah, it's not a good experience of life when you're not your own best friend, you know, and you should be. You should be your own number one fan, your own best friend, and going doing the things that you want to do, living with no regrets. So, a bit further off on a tangent there than I meant, but you can see why. So now, you know, flip forward years later, oh, how did you leave that Facebook job? Fucking easy. Because you haven't lived what I've lived and gone through all that of just pure regret and just unhappy with yourself and really disappointed in yourself. And like, the key word there is lost my own self-respect. And like, that's a big topic too. If I could go back in back in time to younger Marcus, give him one line to make him feel good and live a good life, I'd say gain your own self-respect. That's it. Because that covers so much stuff. Look, these are complicated topics. I try to, you know, wrap them up in one word as I can just throw at you to help you quickly, but gain your own self-respect. If you don't respect yourself, it's not going to be a good life. And I can tell you that from experience. Now, I really respect myself. Like, and it's not about the external outcomes. I'm just doing things I love, living the life that I want. If it works out or it doesn't, I don't fucking care, to be honest. Why? Because I respect myself. I can look myself in the mirror, proud of myself and who I'm trying to become. So that's it. That was the massive flip for me of like, instead of fearing, we'll say like death or like fearing losing money, fearing ego, fearing what people would say, I was fearing not living true to myself because I did it once before and there's fucking nothing worse. And that's how I live my life now ever since. And honestly, night and day, extremely happy with life. So yeah, I think that was everything there. And then I suppose the last point I had here was, because we said deathbed decisions. What's the only way to be on your deathbed happy, at peace of the one life that you have? Is to live a good life. You know, that's the line there. The only way to have a good death is to live a good life. And that's what we have to start doing now. So that's why we need to go deep on this stuff, because what's going to help you start making changes right now, not when you're 50, 60, 70, 80, is thinking deeply on this stuff. Going to your deathbed. Like do that right now. Do that little exercise by yourself. Sit down for 5-10 minutes at home. Bring yourself to your deathbed. Your family's around you. You're there. The doctor said you have 2 days left. How are you feeling? Are you happy with the life that you're living now? Are you happy with who you are? Are you actually being your true self? Are you hiding behind a mask, just being nice to people, and what, for whatever other reasons? Like, you'll know straight away. I know straight away. It was eating away at me. And, like, I just tried to keep ignoring it. But we all know. Like, we all know who we want to be. And you may not, look, you won't have it all figured out, but you know how you want to start acting. Just like even, we'll close it off with his line, like, you could leave life right now, let that determine what you do, say, and think. So that's it. Like, when you sit down and think of your deathbed, are you doing the things you want to do? Are you thinking, like, do you have the mindset that you want? Are you saying the things that you want to say, doing the things that you want to do? And the truth is, majority of people aren't, and they're going to die with regret. So that's what we want to change. Okay, so other free resources here. So in the show notes, I'm going to link a free resource on this. So 3 steps to design the life that you want. This is the bigger picture one. If you're new to lifestyle design, that's it. That's what I'd send younger Marcus, like, at 23. I'm 31 now, 8 years later. But this is what I'd send him at 23 when he's completely lost, facing, like, the 9-to-5 and doesn't have a clue what he wants to do. And it's important to say as well, look, it's not about, like, leaving the 9-to-5. That's not it at all. It's called design the life true to you, because it's your life. If you're in a job you love, that's great. You build the life you want around it, okay? But just my own path wasn't down that track. So I'll link that there. You can click into that big article broken down into 3 steps, and there's a video version there as well, like 30 minutes where I explain it all in detail. So that'll get you started for sure. Then the 3 other ways that I can help you. So the 3 programs, I've got the Physical Freedom one-to-one coaching program. This is where we overcome chronic pain and injury and help clients reach their athletic potential. We have the Mental Freedom course. This is about cultivating deep self-awareness to skillfully navigate your own mind. And this is the key to adjust and refine the operating system running your life. And then the 3rd one, the Lifestyle Design University, which is information we talked about today. This is to avoid the biggest regret of humanity and design the life true to you. Okay, so all those links are there. And then in terms of follow me or contact me, Instagram's the best place. DM on Instagram. The YouTube link is there, LinkedIn as well. And my email is there as well. So main content's coming out through Instagram, the podcast now as well. And then if you want to get in contact, Instagram or email is going to be the best one. So yeah, anything else? Yeah, actually got a few messages about the podcast now since it's getting back consistent and people enjoying it, you know, saying it's, well, it is a lot more. It's done better now. I'm actually prioritizing this just like Instagram. You know, it's more professional, show notes, the pictures. I'm planning out every episode as well. So yeah, good to see that you're liking it now. Important to say, just because I have other clients who are coaches and trying to do their own thing, the external stuff isn't why you do it. You know, that you can't, because that's, you know, going into the mental freedom stuff, that's disempowering. It's not like, oh, I'm not going to put out a podcast unless I get a text saying it's great, or if I get a text saying it's shit, I'm going to cancel it. Like, no, that's, you're placing your happiness, your peace, your fulfillment on things outside of yourself. So it's important that, look, you do it for your own internal reasons. But obviously, yeah, if you're getting messages, people saying you're like, look, that's good as well. That's, you want to help others with it. So it is good that getting a few messages and you're liking it. So yeah, I'm going to keep it consistent. Look, this is going forward for life now. I'm going to keep the Instagram consistent. And I love podcasts. Listen to them every week. Learn so much. Yeah, I'm going to put out my own now for life going forward. So yeah. Do all that good stuff, you know, subscribe or like, because I can see the stats here. Stats are going up and up each week, which is cool. But the follow's not so much. So yeah, if it's on Spotify or Apple or whatever it is, follow or subscribe. Not a tech guy, but yeah, I'm sure that helps with everything, basically, with all the algorithms for putting my one more up there. So yeah, appreciate it, and they're going to keep coming. Yeah, so that's it. So don't settle, and we'll see you in the next one.